This being Wednesday night, I'm going to share something with you that not only be in the form of a message, but it also be a scriptural study as well. It'll affect everybody here, either now or later, and I'm sure you'll understand. But in Isaiah chapter 38, I want to preach on this thought. It's on most everybody's mind, dealing with disease. It's something that people are talking about quite often today. It's amazing. The Word of God is so wonderful. There isn't any subject that you can mention that it doesn't address. Anywhere, anything you want to talk about, you can find the answer in the Word of God. And that's a blessing. But look in verse 1, and we'll look at several verses here, but I'll just start out by reading verse 1. It has to do with Hezekiah. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now we can learn something from the experience of Hezekiah on how to handle the traumatic news of a dreaded disease that has invaded our body. Much to learn here from the scripture. Now disease was not a part of the original plan of creation. Disease came as a result of the earth being cursed because of sin. You know, disease and any condition that causes pain, dysfunction, distress, social problems, or death to the afflicted person, disease interrupts the normal activities of life. It changes everything about that individual and those that also are in the care of them. Disease changes our lives on many levels. It changes us physically. You just can't do what you want to do. You can't do what you once did. It affects us physically. It affects us emotionally. And it affects us spiritually. And it affects us financially. It affects us in so many ways. You know, people used to say, or used to do, when they go to the hospital, they'd say, well, I want you to bring my Bible. I've made many, many, many visits with people in the hospital. And even though their Bible was there, and they knew they would love to read it, but because of being physically hindered, they really didn't look into the Bible, didn't feel like even reading the Word of God. I've been there, and I'm sure you have at one time or another. But as we look at this passage, you'll notice that Hezekiah's world was turned upside down. And he was not an old man. Hezekiah, it's assumed that he was about 39 years old. And here his world is turned upside down. It says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. Isaiah told him, he said, set your house in order, or you shall die and not live. Hezekiah was faced with a terminal disease. As we consider the sickness of Hezekiah, I want you to think first of all about how he responded to the diagnosis. Isaiah said, thou shalt die and not live. Now we can understand Hezekiah's feeling of panic and grief. You see, what Isaiah told him is the equivalent of the doctor saying, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. It's time to set your affairs in order. That's in essence what Isaiah was telling Hezekiah, and it's much like what doctors tell many today. Look in verse 10, and you'll note the reflection of his diagnosis was an emotional response. He said, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I'm deprived of the residue of my years. That's an emotional response to the announcement that Isaiah made to Hezekiah. But notice now how he responded to all this. First of all, you'll notice in verse 2 and verse 3, he began to pray. It says in verse 2, he prayed unto the Lord. Latter part of verse 3, he says, and Hezekiah wept sore. He prayed and wept bitterly. When Isaiah made this announcement, immediately he began to call upon God. Tears and prayers are a normal human response to a disease that appears to be life-threatening. Hezekiah did the right thing. He turned to God in his grief. And that's usually the normal response of most of us. We begin to call upon God. We begin to pray and seek his face. But then we see a promise that is made to him in verses 5, 4 and 5. And the word of Isaiah said in verse 5, God said, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. There was a promise that God made through Isaiah that Isaiah passed along to Hezekiah. He responded to Hezekiah's prayer, added 15 more years to his life. You know, we may not always understand God's reasoning, but the fact that Hezekiah had a great need and he prayed and he received an answer from God, that should encourage us to pray about everything. About everything. Begin to just talk to God about it. You see, prayer is our first line of defense against calamities. Not the last, but the first. Jeremiah says it well. Call unto me, and I will hear thee, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And his line is never busy. You'll never be put on hold. You'll never have to listen to a song you don't like. And you'll never get a prompt. I'm amazed today. You can't hardly get through to doctors or hospitals or anywhere else with having to go through all the recorded messages first. Press this one if you need to talk to so-and-so. Press two if you need to do this. I call to talk to somebody. Let me talk to them. I'm still old school. Somebody said, talking about these modern-day phones, I said, I still think Ma Bell had the right idea. Ring it up, talk it up, and shut it up. That's all you need to do. But look in verse 21, and note the prescription that Isaiah gave. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs, lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Now you might think, well, how could he be sick nigh unto death with a boil? Up until this summer, I had only been in the hospital twice in my life, in 82 years. And once, it was when I was in the military, in Italy, and I had two boils. I was in the hospital for two boils. If you have a boil, you know what I'm talking about. These two were in a bad place. Of course, a boil don't find a good place. But both of them were right here, one here. And if I put my arm down, they hit each other head on. So they put me in the hospital put my arm out like this so they could treat it. And I thought, my, having to go to the hospital for boils. But how the diagnosis or the prescription that Isaiah prescribed for Hezekiah. You know, God can heal with a word, as Jesus did many times that you find in the New Testament. But he may also choose to use the means of modern medicine. God is the healer. Don't forget that. God is the healer, and our trust is in Him ultimately. We know that He's the one that brings about the healing of our body, whatever the disease may be. But we can trust Him, however, to use doctors to treat us and medicines to heal us. Doctors don't need to be Christians, by the way, for God to use their knowledge and their skill to heal us. I thank God for those that are expertise in that particular field. In Hezekiah's case, the treatment that Isaiah prescribed worked, and Hezekiah was healed, and God added 15 years to his life. But notice how he responded. Notice how he began to praise God. I love these verses. Go back to verse 17, the last part. Well, let me read the verse. He said, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And he goes on, he said, "The grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." He said, the living, he shall praise thee. When God performs a healing upon your body, he's deserving of our praise. Yes, give credit to the doctor. Give credit to the medication. But give God the praise and God the glory, because he is the divine healer. Anyone who receives a clean bill of health from the doctor should give credit where credit was due. Thank the doctors for their loving concern and their devotion that's been shown to you as a patient. But give God the praise and the glory for your healing. You see, we should praise Him for who He is, not just for what He's done. He's God. And Isaiah, several times in Isaiah, the question is asked, who can you compare me with? There's none that compares with Him, the Creator of this universe. I love that verse, Psalm 103, verse 1 down through verse 3, that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." God is the healer. So we need, by the way, we need to decide ahead of time, before the crisis hits, that God is good and God is worthy in all things. Worthy to be praised in all things. That's what Hezekiah was doing. I like verse 19. He says, the living, he shall praise thee. The grave cannot praise thee. Those that have died cannot praise thee. But we that are living can praise thee because of what you have done. But let's notice another thing here. Note also our reaction to disease. You know, there's sort of three things that I've condensed into what I've learned in all the years I've lived. One is, I cannot help what people do, or what people say, or what people think. However, I can control how I react to it. folks will say whatever they're going to say, think whatever they're going to think, do whatever they're going to do. You have no control over that. But you can control how you react to what they say and do. So what is our reaction to a disease? Our desire is to live healthy, fruitful, long lives. That's a normal reaction. To live long. Just hang around as long as you can. My daddy had the best saying. He said, I want to live as long as I can, then die when I can't help it. I've heard him say that so many times. But how should we react to the news of a dreaded life-threatening disease? We as believers, we to have the truth of God's Word, we to have already eternal life. How should we react to a life-threatening, the news of a life-threatening disease? First of all, let me say this. Take control of your mind. Second only to prayer is our own constant meditation upon the truth of God through His Word. Read His Word. Meditate upon His Word. When doubts and fears come, remember this verse. Isaiah 26:3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Take control of your mind. The peace of God will guard your mind and your heart through Christ Jesus. You see, the mind is the devil's battleground. If he can win the battle there, he'll win the battle in your body. Your body reacts to what the mind says. And so he bombards the mind with all kinds of negative thoughts. You get sick, you're lying in a hospital bed, and the first person that makes a visitation is old Slewfoot himself, and he jumps right up to bed with you and says, where's God now? Plants doubt in your mind about God's greatness and holiness and loving concern for you. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. In other words, when battling a disease, our attitude and mental perspective is very important in the healing process. So do not allow fear to replace your faith. The Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So take control of your mind when reacting to the news of a life-threatening disease. And secondly, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will amaze you to see what God has done. A fella called me the other day and wishing us happy anniversary. And I said to him, I said, you know, God has given us 63 years together. Know if I ever share this with you or not. It bears repeating, a little humorous. I met Linda hanging upside down from a tree. Her legs thrown over a limb. That's how I met her. I said to her brother that I was with, I said, who's that? He said, oh, that's my sister Lou. I said, I'm going to marry that girl. But all these years, I found her hanging upside down. But all these years, she's kept me right side up. But we were talking about the family. And I said, you know, I've never been one to have been able to put his hands on a lot of money where I could do something in a big way at one time. I've never been able to do that in all these years. But I said to this man, I said, I'm one of the richest men that I know anywhere. And he said, amen. He knew my family. I said, my six children, the children God's given to us, has made us wealthy in Christ. Count your blessings. And by the way, Mom and Dad, the greatest investment you will ever make is in the lives of your children. Don't ever forget that. That's the greatest investment. And you say, well, mine have become a little rebellious. Mine have drifted back out in the world. Don't ever give up on your kids. Never. No matter how old they are, how distant they may be, how rebellious they may be, never give up on them. God can still reach them. So you count your blessings. You see, you don't, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's one of those verses that we usually would rather leave out, bypass. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks. You see, you don't thank God for your disease. You thank God, you thank Him in your disease, in the midst of your experience. You give God thanks and praise and glory. You know, there's always something for which to be grateful in life, even in the midst of sickness. Think about this. If you had lost everything, you wouldn't still be on earth. So be thankful for what you have, not bitter for what you may have lost. Give God the glory for what you still have. So control your mind and count your blessings. Then thirdly, as you react to a death, life-threatening situation, continue your work. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, God created us for good works and that we should walk in them. You see, we are called to follow Christ as long as we are here upon this earth. Jesus is coming, and that's true. And I'm looking forward to Him. But we're admonished in the Word of God, occupy till I come. You just keep on serving Him and keep on working in His field. Sometimes, as with some of us already, our health may limit what we're able to do for Him. But we need to keep on working and keep on laboring. Remember that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we belong to Him in sickness or in health. We still belong to Him. Illness may change the kind of work we do, but we can have a service heart and attitude regardless of our physical condition. We can still maintain that good attitude towards serving the Lord. And then another thing I would point out, when you get news of a life-threatening illness, claim the promise. Claim this promise. Jesus said when Lazarus was sick, He came to the grave of Lazarus, and our Lord said about Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now you'll notice, if you go back and read that chapter, Jesus didn't say Lazarus' sickness would include death. He said it wouldn't end in death. And neither will our illness end in eternal death. Even if our body stops working in this life, we know that life continues for us on the other side of death. And as long as we're here, we know that Christ can be glorified even through our illness. I'm amazed at many Christians today. We love that song, "I'm a winner either way." But we really don't like to think about going on or if I stay. You know, we don't like to entertain that fact. But you know, I don't know of anything here that would keep me from going on. Everything's ready, as far as I know. I mean, whenever His call comes, I'll answer. And so will you, each and every one of us. We know from the Word of God that day is coming. It is appointed. And a man wants to die after this, the judgment. Then the last thing I would have you to see as you think about how you would react to a news of a life-threatening situation, consider the future. In John chapter 13, Jesus makes a startling announcement around the table just after finishing washing all the feet of the disciples, taking the water and the basin and the towel, wiping their feet. And then He says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." In John chapter 14, "You believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." You see, He told them at the Last Supper, He was going away. Well, it seemed that all their hopes had vanished in that statement. All the disciples had forsaken all to follow Him. And their hopes were in Him to establish His kingdom. And that's what they believed that would happen while He was on earth. But He said, "I'm going away." And He recognized the heaviness and the sadness in their heart. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's one of the great I ams that we often leave out. "Where I am, there you may be also." Have you ever really, when you came into this service tonight, did you stop for just a moment and consider the presence of Christ in this service? But He is. If there's many as two or three will assemble themselves together in my name, there am I. I believe there's at least three that came together in His name tonight. That means Christ is here. He's worthy of our praise and our glory and honor that we give to Him. So Jesus told His disciples that He was going back to the Father to prepare a place for them. That promise should remove fear of anything, including disease, that might happen to us in this life. God's ultimate plan, according to Romans chapter 8, is to conform us to the image of His dear Son. And so we get healed in the end. Some will be healed on earth. Others will be healed in heaven. But all are going to be healed. That's how God has conformed us to be. Become just like the Lord Jesus. Let me close with this. Isabel Kuhn, a Canadian missionary to China and Thailand, she told about her battle with cancer in this book, entitled In That Arena, or In the Arena, rather. And she said this, and I quote, "Facing the end of one's earthly pilgrimage is not a melancholy thing for a Christian. It's like preparation for the most exciting journey of all. And so the platform of a dreaded disease becomes but a springboard to heaven." Unquote. What a great attitude. And that should be the attitude of every child of God. And I close with these verses of Paul to the Philippians. That's been a great encouragement to my heart ever since I come across them many years ago. Verse 6 of Philippians 4. "Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry about anything. Isn't it sad that most Baptists worry more than a termite and a yo-yo? Don't be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now watch this. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Did you know that during this pandemic, the church has had one of the greatest opportunities to be a witness of Jesus Christ than at any other time that I've known? Because they are watching how we react. And he says, if you have the peace of God, it blows their mind. It passes all understanding. They cannot understand. And he goes on to say, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Now watch this. "And the God of peace shall be with you." In verse 7, it's the peace of God. In verse 9, it's the God of peace. You have protection from the inside to the outside. God's protecting you inwardly and outwardly, and it blows the minds of those that cannot understand how you can be so content in the midst of a pandemic. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you allow this scripture concerning Hezekiah to be given to Isaiah that he might pen those words, make them real to us today under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Illumines our minds. It awakens us, our Father, to just how true it is that you are concerned about our every situation, physically and spiritually and every other way. May you add your blessings to what's been said and to the scriptures we've read. And may we be encouraged as believers to look to you and give you thanks in every circumstance, in every situation. Help us to go away from this place with a testimony of God's saving grace and letting our light shine that others may see the beauty and the wonder of God in our lives. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.